Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Progressive Britain podcast. This is the extra episode from Labour Conference 2018. I'm Progress Deputy Editor Connor Pope, and I'm joined by the New European's political editor, Richard Porritt. So, Richard, I think we have to come clean here. We're recording this on Tuesday afternoon. This was going to be all about the Brexit motion that either did or didn't pass, and we were supposed to know by now, but we don't. So we'll have to kind of hedge our bets here a bit. Do you think it's going to pass? What's your feeling of the conference?
Yes, I think it probably will. I mean, I was in the hall for Keir's speech, and the ovation seemed to suggest that the majority of people at conference will back it. I mean, it was a bit of a... obviously, we were given the speech beforehand, the approved speech. So when he dropped that line, it was a bit of a I won't go as far as say jaw-dropping, but certainly one of the moments of conference so far, I think. And of course, immediately...
This was the line to say that Remain would be
right.
On the ballot paper in
a
week as well.
Yeah, and I was checking back on the work. That isn't in there, you know. Yeah. And you know, we've immediately had some backlash to that. I was speaking to a Remain MP who said... afterwards, there is already some anger from the sort of soft Brexit wing of the party that he did that. And I think there's certainly divisions on it, isn't there? Just like next week, you know, I will be at Tory conference as well. And next week, we will see, we will see even more divisions potentially. But Labour is a divided party on this. And I think Keir actually has done or is doing a really good job as far as he can. I think he's been held back a lot by the leadership. And I think the majority of us would love him just to be able to get hold of this brief and do it completely by himself. I think he'd do a much better job of it.
Is there any idea where that line came from? Was it added in at the last minute, or did it have any sign off from the people?
Certainly
at the
didn't
top
have
of
any sign off. No, absolutely not. I mean, HQ will have seen and approved the wording of the speech, which obviously didn't include that line, which was, you know, nobody's ruling out Remain. I did a little bit of work with Keir a few years ago, before he was a Labour Party MP, and just after he'd stopped being the Director of Public Prosecution. And I don't think he's the type of chap that does things spontaneously. So it's my belief that he had written that in response to some of the things that what John McDonnell suggested and what Len McCluskey said on Sunday, I think it was, because that's what he believes and that's what he wants. And I think he's getting a bit fed up of not getting the support from leadership that that he thinks the members deserve on a people's vote.
The standing ovation that he got for that line was a remarkable rebuke to the likes of John McDonnell and those comments. And that is really not something that we've seen over the past couple of years from members in their attitude towards the leadership. Did you kind of sense that actually there are a lot of party members who are getting a bit fed up that on this issue they're not being represented?
On this issue, absolutely. And I think that began to fester last year in Brighton when there was no opportunity to debate Brexit. I think people were very angry about that then. I think they've remained angry about it for the whole year. And I think they're delighted that they have had that chance this year. Yeah, I mean, we still see, you know, I was walking here today to do the pod with you, and there's lots of people with, you know, Love Corbyn, Hate Brexit t-shirts and bags and things. So there is still obviously that love for Jeremy Corbyn. I think it would be so much larger, however, if he was to come out and be properly anti-Brexit. Now, to be fair to him, we know, we only have to look back at some of the stuff he's said previously. He is a Eurosceptic. I mean, there's no need for us to pretend that he's not. But I think what he said at the beginning of the conference about, you know, being happy to go along with the members' views, I think that should be welcomed, and I think that should be applauded on his part. It's a shame, obviously, that John McDonnell potentially doesn't agree with him. Mm-hmm. But we don't fully know, of course, if Jeremy means there should be a vote, but Remain shouldn't be on it, which is what came out of the unions and out of John.
So my personal feeling towards the Brexit motion is that actually it's really good. It's got a couple of excellent elements. I think the fact that it essentially does explicitly say that we support full membership of the single market is a massive step forward from the 2017 manifesto. And I think the element on the people's vote is really useful as a tool for the membership to essentially hold the leadership
Absolutely.
To account, because there is a clear set of, you know, logical circumstances that they will and will not support a people's vote in. And if they don't do that, then the members can turn around and say, this is what the policy is. And, you know, frankly, we've seen in the past that Labour leaders can quite easily ignore stuff that conference passes. But at least that is a tool that, that members can use to judge the actions of the leader by. I think that some people have been more critical of it and think it's a bit of a fudge. What's your kind of take, and their take?
Yeah, I mean, in initially, I've been speaking to Labour. I was at the Labour Leave event last night, and they said it was a fudge. They're pleased that it's a fudge. I was speaking to it's not a large protest, probably not the right word, but we've got some people with EU flags and things out. So I was speaking to them yesterday as well, and they also said it was a fudge. So I think if both sides are saying it a fudge, then it probably is to some extent. But I agree with you that it is a tool to hold leadership to account going forward. So I think it is useful on that score. And I think it's baby steps with Labour on Brexit, but I do think that we're going in the right direction.
So the Labour Leave, you were saying you were with them last night. What is their take on Jeremy Corbyn? We all know that he's really a Corbyn sceptic and he has this history. And do they think that actually he's doing a pretty good job of sticking in that as leader?
They tend to be old school lefties, so they quite like him on that score, I think. But really, their focus isn't Jeremy Corbyn. It's very similar. So at the weekend, I went to an even more extreme meeting. I was at the Bolton University Stadium for the Leave Means Leave rally with Nigel and David Davis. And
the whole gang.
And Kate Hoy was there, and she was there last night as well. Those two elements, you know, they tended to be more Tory UKIP sort of voters, and the Labour leavers that I met with last night actually have the same enemy, and that is what they call Ramonas, you know. And Graham Stringer was speaking last night, and he was moaning, to be honest, about some of the things that the Remainers, some of the names they call leavers and things like that. And I mean, obviously, I get called those things from the other side all the time. I'm sure you do as well. So this is a two-way street, but they are just determined at all costs to get out of Europe. And these are long-held views, you know. It's nothing particularly new for them. It's not like it's not like Boris, where he blows with the wind. These are, you know, like Jeremy's views are long-held, and they feel like they're so close now. There is a real zeal to get it over and done with. And my worry, of course, is that they are blind to some of the costs. You know, they're blind to, and the same for the Tory Brexiteers, of course. They are just blinded by this years of work to getting them to this stage, and they're almost there, and they don't really care anymore.
So in John McDonnell's speech to conference, he said that, you know, the bigger the crisis is, then the more the desire for radical change. And that seems to be an important part of the left's analysis at the moment. And it kind of has been for a couple of years. I know it was essentially the same around the time Donald Trump was elected US president. They said, well, if this must be our moment. Like if someone like Trump can get elected, then actually we can use that anger for left populism as well. Do you think... It feels like we're definitely heading towards a no-deal situation now. Chequers is dead. There doesn't seem to be any desire to come up with something to replace it. Do you think... What do you think is the kind of reaction of the Labour leadership towards that situation?
I think that, I mean, I've interviewed lots of Labour MPs this week, and certainly the theme at the start of the week was, we want a general election. Mm. And I think they probably would imagine that if there is a no deal, then the government in chaos, it's more likely that there will be a general election. Mm. Emily Thornberry, I was chatting to, and she's convinced there's going to be an election in November. Please no. Please no. I'm still recovering from last year. I could well do without that. So I think actually they're quite happy to let this go. And I think, to be fair, I don't actually think that that is irresponsible, because they argue, and I think this would be true of the EU, if there was a change of government, we could extend, Article 50, and we could start again. And maybe that's what actually is needed. Would I trust the current Labour leadership to do a good job, any better job, than what Theresa May and the government has done on Brexit? Well, I'm not sure. I don't know, to be honest.
So obviously, as we're talking, we don't know what the actual result of the Brexit motion is, whether it's passed or not. We're presuming that it will do.
Yeah.
But given that we're doing this in advance, I guess we also better talk about what happens if it doesn't pass. And I suppose that is really the measure of this and how much of a step forward it is. What happens if the Labour conference rejects this motion
today? Well, that would be hugely depressing, wouldn't it? I can't see any way that it won't. But if it didn't, and it hasn't, then I don't know, we go again. I mean, what other option have we got? Yeah. I think this is too big a... We've had so many setbacks and carried on, and I think there really is proper progression now on this issue inside Labour Party, and I think we just have to keep on keeping on. I mean, it's as simple as that, in my opinion.
And so, just quickly before we finish, you're going to Tory conference next week.
I am.
What is going to happen there? Do you have any idea?
Well, do you know what I do? I've done plenty of Tory conferences and plenty of Labour ones as well over the years, and I've never been to a conference quite like last year's conference.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we had Boris dropping bombshells from the beginning, and then we had obviously the it had a lull in the middle, and you thought, oh, she's got on top of it. It all sort of calmed down on the Tuesday, and of course then the speech happened. It was one of the most incredible pieces of political theatre I have ever witnessed. I will certainly never forget that until my dying day. And one of the, not that I agreed with the content of it, but one of the best political speeches I've actually ever seen was Theresa May slapping down police officers at the Police Federation conference about 4 or 5 years ago when she was Home Secretary, of course. Now, I didn't agree with anything she said, but again, as a piece of political theatre, it was extraordinary. You could hear a pin drop. And beforehand, the police had been told they mustn't boo or slow hand clap or they must just listen. And she walked off the stage, and the only thing you could hear were her heels clicking as she walked off. And fast forward 4 years to last year when she was coughing and spluttering and letters were falling off. And, from this iron lady that she seemed to be back then to what she'd become, I honestly drove back home that evening and was getting phone calls and making phone calls. Obviously, I pulled over before I made the phone call. saying, how long has she got? 24 hours, 48 hours. Here she is a year later. It's extraordinary. I mean, I spoke to very senior Tory sources after that who said, listen, if she gets to Christmas, it'll be a miracle. Well, the miracle of Christmas came and went. We've had local elections. We've had all kinds of other things and all kinds of disasters. And she's still here. So can she make it through her own conference next week? Well, it's going to be extraordinary. There's going to be even more infighting than we've seen at Labour this week, I think. And it is going to be, there's going to be lots to write about. Let's put it that way. I won't be bored.
God, I can't wait. I've been coming to Labour conferences since 2009, and this is the first one I've ever been to where basically I've not really heard anyone ask, who do you think is going to be the next Labour leader? It's not on the agenda here this year.
No, it's not.
Whereas the Tories, wow.
Which one of any of these people would want to?
I mean, here, deputy leader obviously is a slightly different matter, and it seems like there is a lot of shenanigans going on with that as we speak, but I'm sure that by Friday we'll have a much better idea. Anyway, Richard Porritt, thank you so much
Absolute
for coming
pleasure.
In.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Cheers. Do remember to send in any comments and questions you have. Leave a review, rate and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to the Progressive Britain podcast with Connor Pope and Richard Angel. The music is When in the West by Blue Dot Sessions, licensed under Creative Commons, and this episode was produced by Carolyn Crampton.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.